Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hey, creepies, welcome to Middle-Aged Mini number 103. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, gentlemen?
Having a great night.
We are.
Whoa.
Well, that was a good one with the gurgle.
That is awesome.
I was going to say we're doing it.
How middle-aged of you?
The gurgle is strong with this one.
That's right.
Good.
Yeah, gurgle.
Yeah, gurgle. I wonder if there's a cryptid. That could be our new cryptid, the gurgle.
The gurgle.
Oh, the gurgler.
The
sounds like the hamburglar from McDonald's.
The hamburglar.
He's all purple.
We are having a good night.
Oh, grimace.
Yeah, oh, man. Remember the glasses from McDonald's?
I collected them. Oh, yeah. Heck yeah.
Loved them. Loved them. We are having a great night, and let's get right to it. Sean, tell the creepies what we're going to talk about.
We're going to talk about my pick, and this is under the category of unexplained, right? And it is the Great Library of Alexandria, right?
Mm-hmm.
It burnt. We lost it all.
Thanks, creepies, for
that's it. That caps it out at that, right?
Yes, wow. No longer. So.
Anticlimactic.
Wow. Huh? The quickest mini I've ever. That was a mini.
Aim to please.
Thanks a lot, Nate. Deflated that balloon quickly, right?
Anything else?
Anybody got anything else?
All right. What about a foundation?
The Great Library of Alexandria in Alexandria, Egypt, was one of the largest and most significant libraries of the ancient world. The library was part of a much larger institution called the Museion, which was dedicated to the muses, the nine goddesses of the arts. I believe that's where the term museum comes from, by the way, as well.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of a universal library in Alexandria may have been proposed by Demetrius of Palerum, an exiled Athenian statesman living in Alexandria in Ptolemy the First Soter, who may have established plans for the library. But the library itself was probably not built until the reign of his son, Ptolemy the Second Philadelphus. This all sounds made up, I know.
It is.
The library quickly acquired many papyrus scrolls, owing largely to the Ptolemaic king's aggression and well-funded policies for procuring texts, which we'll talk about that. That's really fun. It is unknown precisely how many such scrolls were housed at any given time, but the estimate ranges from 40,000 to 400,000 at its height. I've heard like 500,000 up to 700,000.
I heard 700,000 on the video I watched. Can't that's say for sure, but
wild.
They said, yeah,
that is wild.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
That's a sea of scrolls.
A sea scroll.
Sea scroll.
That's right. How many sea scrolls sit by the sea scroll? Well, hold on. I'm all confused.
We're going to get really confused. Really
yeah,
quickly.
That's a lot. I don't care if it was 1,000. It sounds like a lot. Because they can't produce them like they can now. That's a lot of handwritten scrolls.
The interesting thing is that there is debate whether this even existed. I'm pretty convinced after the videos I've watched. I mean, did you guys get this in history, any kind of history class? They might have touched on it in a history class I got in college.
I don't remember anything about it.
If anything, it was just mentioned.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't think
sort of like my little excerpt at the beginning of this.
Yeah.
There's the Library of Alexander. It burned.
It burned. Well, there's even questions about
it burned
that.
Everything. We don't have any of anything that's in there. So moving on.
All right.
What they think was the Library of Alexandria is still the only thing that exists of it is the basement. There's a basement of it. And then, but then there's questions on whether that was really the site for it or not.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and there is, they're pretty sure that when it was, there's different ways that it could have been destroyed or reasons it was destroyed, but they think that it was Julius Caesar.
Correct.
None other than Julius Caesar.
Right? Yeah. I have a little baby paragraph here that says, what destroyed the Library of Alexandria? On his pursuit of Pompeii in Egypt in 48 BCE, Caesar was cut off by a large fleet of Egyptian boats in the harbor of Alexandria. He ordered the boats to be burned. The fleet was destroyed, but the flame spread to the city and the library.
Mm-hmm. That's what I heard while I watched the video.
Good job, Caesar.
Yeah, good job. I wonder if he was short. He'd be little Caesars. No, anyway. No, you never hear about, you know, like, you know, Napoleon was short, but pizza.
Yeah.
So, that's right. In this, you know, possible library, mm-hmm. Was Alexander the Great's.
This Alexandria idea. Was named after Alexander the Great.
But he passed away mm-hmm. before it was built. And it was, I can't remember.
Early 30s.
Well, yeah.
32, and the, something like that.
And one, and I can't, I don't.
He mysteriously died very quickly.
Can't remember the name, but he wanted to honor him. Mm-hmm. And so to go on with his plans mm-hmm. to build the Great Library.
Yes.
And
I thought that there's a lighthouse too of Alexandria, which is supposed to be a wonderful, you know, pinnacle or a, it was a feat of architecture back in the ancient world.
Sure.
And then this, the, and so was this library.
Yeah.
The idea was to have, you know, to be a seat of knowledge, and, the cutting edge of all the science technologies that were coming into the world. I like how, where all the scrolls were kept, however many hundreds of thousands it sounded like there was a slogan supposedly written. It said, the place of the cure of the soul. Mm. So this was supposed to be an enrichment for the soul of humanity, which I love that. I think that's really cool. They also say that a lot of these scrolls were destroyed, but some were salvaged. There are theories that they reside under the Vatican. The Vatican has... Oh. Scroll after scroll after scroll yeah. of books of the ancient world.
Yeah.
And there are theories that, you know, because the Vatican keeps a lot of that stuff under lock and key, but they wonder how much was actually salvaged or if more was salvaged than what was led to believe. I think that's really interesting.
Because they said mm-hmm. they might have put them on ships mm-hmm. before it
yeah.
went down and then they took them wherever.
Well, you if know. You were a ship coming into the harbor in Alexandria, you were... It was, they say now it feels like big government kind of feel, but any books or scrolls that you were carrying were detained. They were copied by scribes.
Correct.
And then they kept the originals because for prestige mm-hmm. and they sent you home with the copies, which yeah. whether fair or not, that's what they did. And you really didn't get a say in it. So
inked copies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
That's
the finest inked copies you could have in the ancient world.
Yeah. That's crazy. And they let scholars and whoever go to the library mm-hmm. and yeah, write as they were going there, they could write new, you know, scrolls or books as they call, you know, mm-hmm. what that's kind of, yeah, I thought that was kind of neat as it was, Scott, all everybody was welcome to,
yeah, like ongoing.
Yeah.
Education.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's such a cool idea and it's, yeah.
It was very forward thinking for that time, you know.
Oh, very.
The other thing is that there are suspicions that the burning of it, whether it was accidental or through warfare or through power grabs, which it sounds like through Caesar wasn't like necessarily trying to...
Little Caesar.
Little yeah. Caesar, pizza, was not trying to take out the knowledge base of the world, I don't think. But it said that this destruction of... because it was it had existed for 700 years before it was burned, right?
Yeah, right.
So at least they say, in historically speaking, but they say that it probably knocked us back at least 1,000 years mm. in our technologies, in our knowledge, which yeah. is interesting.
What I found was
scary.
How far did the burning of the Library of Alexandria set us back? The statement here is, if I could travel back into time, it would be to the Library of Alexandria, because all the knowledge in the ancient world was within those marble walls. The destruction of the library was said to be a warning to us. 1600 years later, we must never let it happen again.
It was also the home of the first, like where the Bible was copied. Like, mm-hmm. so the Bible would have come in there and they would have copied it and taking the original text of the Old Testament mm-hmm. right there in the Library of Alexandria. I think that's pretty cool too. Mm-hmm. I think that's really neat. That mm-hmm. is definitely historical.
Yeah. I don't remember this in school. I didn't go to college, but I don't remember in middle school or high school at all.
I would say that a very small percentage of people know much about it. Probably have heard of it, but don't really know anything about it. Historically
yeah, right.
speaking.
Sure.
And like I said, it doesn't sound like historians can really truly agree on exactly, you know, the timing of it sounds like they've narrowed a lot of things down and they, you know, there's theories, but they really don't, this is concrete. This is what happened and this is what was lost. We really don't know. And this is when we say things, I've said it before and I feel it this way, that we're humanity, is you know, we don't know what we don't know. We don't know where we came from sometimes, and we have amnesia. These are the reasons, because we've lost knowledge. So who knows how far back that goes?
Before they started doing this, which was very revolutionary, everything was just word of mouth. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. passed down generation to generation, and everybody knows how the telephone game works.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, this was actually, like, written down concrete stories and happenings. Now, you know, it's gone.
Right. This says, how do you pronounce it? The Musean? Musean?
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah.
Was not a museum in the modern sense of the term, but much more like a university. Says here, literally, works were recited and theories discussed. Says the library's archive where the manuscripts were held may have been a separate building from the museum, though it is not entirely clear. It is possible that at its height, the library housed upward of 500,000 separate written works, as we said earlier. Of course, they were called scrolls, this is interesting. They were made out of papyrus, a reed that grew along the Nile River. According to Dartmouth College, the reeds were pounded flat to form paper, then dried into the sun. Then the different papers were attached to one another with glue to form a long, continuous paper that could be rolled up. So mm-hmm. that's kind of how a scroll is made.
It's interesting.
I did not know that.
With the Roman period, and they say that the library was actually dwindling before it burned, said the library dwindled during the Roman period from a lack of funding and support. Its yeah. membership appears to have ceased by the 260s AD. Between 270 and 275, the city of Alexandria saw an invasion, an imperial counterattack that probably destroyed whatever remained of the library. This is what we were talking about earlier. The daughter library in the Serapeum, which is where it's like the basement of the library, may have survived after the main library's destruction. The Serapeum was vandalized and demolished in 391 AD under a decree issued by the bishop Theophilus of Alexandria, but it does not seem to have housed books at that time and was mainly used as a gathering place for Neoplatonist philosophers following the teaching of Lamblicus, whoever the heck that is. I am not familiar with that history, but must have been big thinking people getting around to talk about their big thoughts. That's mm-hmm. basically what that is.
Well, what's interesting is even they had them organize the scrolls, you know. It's not like they just housed a bunch of scrolls and just put them where they can and where they can fit. Mm-hmm. They literally did use a system where it says they called a pinakes, P-I-N-A-K-E-S, pinakes or pinakes. It says, or it's called tables that classify the scrolls into divisions based on each scroll's topic. Mm-hmm. So they were very organized. And can you imagine having the task to do that mm-hmm. Back then? But yeah, I think that's cool.
You got to have something to fill your time, though.
It says
right?
these topics included, for example, natural history, history in general, poetry, law, rhetoric, medicine, and mathematics. So it says the system was akin to a library catalog or bibliography, and according to Britannica, became a model on which other systems of library organization were subsequently based. In addition, each scroll contained a tag that specified the title, author, subject, and whether the work contained a single text or multiple texts.
That's cool.
They mm-hmm. had it organized. Yeah. I think that's so cool.
And then to branch off what you said earlier about them copying them and mm-hmm. keeping the original and sending them back with the copy, it said that the older copies of texts were favored over the new ones, since it was assumed that older copies had undergone less copying and that they were therefore more likely to be more closely resemble what the original author had written. Mm-hmm. So that's why they kept the older ones, because mm-hmm. those were sought after.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
That collector's item, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. This is fascinating. It's very mm-hmm. interesting, and it's sad, though, that it, whatever happened.
Number two, I am maybe. On it.
Oh, was that you? For some reason, I looked like, thought I was looking at Sean.
It could have easily been me.
Yeah, that's cool.
It would be so interesting to Bill and Ted, our excellent butts,
to go back, yeah,
back right. there to Alexandria.
I know it. I know and
at least see it once and like read some of the stuff in there. It, mm-hmm. It'd been fascinating.
Right. It's interesting, and there's a long list of all the different, like the first ideas that came along and came through the library. You know, like the world, the fact that we revolve around the sun, and those kind of things are kind of cool that they were, those big thoughts were thought there, you know, mm-hmm. and some of the you know, mathematical ideas and things, or at least that were the foundation that led to other, you know, mathematical and historical ideas were started there. It does. It is interesting that it was not the first of its kind. Long tradition in libraries existed in both Greek. It talks about the, there's ones in the ancient Near East. Earliest recorded archives were in the ancient Sumerian of Uruk in 3400 BC.
Wow.
And there were later kingdoms like Nebuchadnezzar, the Hittites, and the Assyrians had libraries. The Assurbanipal in Nineveh, found in the 7th century BC. So there are other like examples of these types of libraries, but they weren't nearly as well known. So, and they were more spread out, obviously. Right. And I don't think that they took originals. I mean, they might have, but that was not something. That's what the Library of Alexandria was apparently known for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. You know, I wonder... Wonder if you had to be quiet.
Like, in the, yeah. Shh, shh, shh. Like the Ghostbuster librarian.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. I wonder if that, you know, they started it all like, no, be quiet. It's a library. Okay. I don't know. It's just little simple things like that I question. Very, very interesting, fascinating. I like this topic.
Definitely go look into it more because, I mean, I hope this sparks somebody out there like, wow, I never thought about this and I'd like to know more about this. There's tons of books.
Yeah.
There are tons of videos.
Tons of scrolls.
And tons of scrolls out there for your learning pleasure. Mm-hmm. But there, it goes very, very deep, you know. And obviously there's conspiracy that comes off of it and all that kind of stuff. The Vatican stuff is fascinating as well. But it is. It's very, it's
that is interesting.
Unknown and unexplained.
The Vatican, I don't know what, who knows what they have. You know,
that's right.
I'm not trying.
They're
to.
Not telling. Now they do let scholars come in, but you have to only select scholars get to go. And I don't know that everything is open up to them, but a lot. You can
I doubt
go
it. I'm sure there's a
super hidden chambers.
Yeah, a vault that never opens.
A couple spacecraft down there.
As far as I can throw them, Nate. if we have any Italian listeners, that's
we are only kidding,
but no, not.
But not really.
Just joking.
Did I say a couple spaceships down there?
Yeah. Yeah. Wait a minute.
What?
I know. I do you have anything else, Nate or Sean?
I don't. I would love.
No.
This is a great mini.
To travel back in time, like you said, with Bill and Ted.
Bill and Ted.
Bill and Ted would be, yes, absolutely.
Well, it'd be cool to see this and then go back and see how the pyramids were built and the Sphinx. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd just be really cool to see some of those events.
It'd be like, we'd be like, I knew it. Or, oh my gosh, I
aliens.
Had no, yeah, aliens.
Pretty clear.
I know. It's like that meme that I saw a couple of weeks ago where, like, a little drawing it said, like the Egyptians, and they really did build the pyramids. And then, then it says something like, oh, the aliens get all the credit, you know, like, oh, yeah, thanks.
Thanks a lot. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. All of our back-breaking hard work.
Yeah.
Aliens.
Yeah, aliens get credit.
Thanks a lot. Yeah.
That's funny.
Great mini topic. That was a good one.
I enjoy talking about it. Like I said, go out there. We could talk about this for hours, but there's just so much to cover. But it is. It's an interesting topic, really.
Mm-hmm. And if we talked about it for hours,
it wouldn't be a mini anymore.
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah.
Right? And you put it as a mini, and I'm not going to change it.
That's right.
From a wait a minute. But what they did, though, back then, like we're talking about what was written was about, like, flat earth versus is the earth round. And, and back then. Wow. And as one of the videos I watched, I don't remember who was it. He was like, no, even back then he was able to definitely say the earth is round, and he was actually able to measure it. And they said within like a couple of miles of what it actually, the circumference is. That is amazing.
Even before Copernicus said it, he was ahead of Copernicus.
I'm like, so. That is...
It's pretty wild.
How he could do that within just a couple of miles.
And you're the math guy, and I don't know that. I mean, you're saying that you may not have been able to do that.
No, I can't.
You're like, no.
No, I don't have a tape measure that long. I don't have time. No. Anyway, great topic, Sean.
Well, thank you,
Nate.
Yeah,
help us out, brother.
I think we're done scrolling through this topic, so that's a wrap.
Excellent. Excellent. Scrolling through the
excellent
topic, you say. Thank you, Nate, for that. And we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to our Middle-Aged Mini number 103, and the interesting discussion of the historical Library of Alexandria. And until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
See you.